Blog Talk Radio.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
We want to thank you for keeping us safe and warm. We want to thank you for protecting us from a storm of ignorance and hate. Take this time to stop and appreciate the sacrifice you made. Merry Christmas, G.I., this one's for you. Merry Christmas, G.I., for all the things you do. We're gonna take this time. Sacrifice you made. Merry Christmas, G.I. Hope yours is safe and warm.
Merry Christmas, G.I.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas, GIs.
Merry Christmas.
And thank you.
Love that song. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and yours. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Late night, which you see, the cup is almost gone, but it's not completely gone. But, oh, welcome, welcome, welcome to Young People and Youth Advocates Coalition Presents, as we talk about, of course, some sports. And also World AIDS Day, which was last Sunday, and also homelessness in America when it comes to our youth and young people, and other topics also. But congratulations to all the winners this weekend, and of course today, and of course tonight, the Who Dat Nation prevails. So congratulations to the entire Saints organization, Coach Sean, Drew Brees, Marcus Colston, and the whole team. It takes the teams. It should be saying every name on the roster, you know, because it's teamwork. Teamwork is what makes winners, right, when it comes to team sports. And teamwork on your job or at school or working on projects, you know. It takes teamwork. It's good to be able to work alone and excel alone, but when you collectively come together, hey. Shout out to the Panthers, though, because, you know, Panthers happen to be a team that I like, and, of course, Cam Newton is a favorite athlete of mine. But congratulations, 31-13. I must admit, I'm getting over this cough, this cold, so I was dozing, but important is that we won, and you guys had the, those of you in attendance in person in the game had the Superdome on fire. Congratulations to the Benson family and everyone. That's just amazing. We're still on the road to the Super Bowl, and that's a good thing. And tomorrow night is another big one, right? The Dallas Cowboys and Chicago Bears. So Monday Night Football, MNF, is on right now. Now the local paper in New Orleans, News Sentinel. This is Fort Wayne, but it's from New Orleans. News from New Orleans via the Associated Press. It reads that Drew Brees hit Marcus Colston. Now I always point out that whenever Marcus Colston plays, we know we're winning. I mean, all the other players are good and excellent, but if we ever need that, whenever, have you noticed the games that we could have won each time, Marcus Colston, 9 times out of 10, is not on the field. He's injured or healing from something. But when Marcus is on, we're on fire. We really needed him tonight, so I'm glad he was able to work tonight. Drew Brees hit Marcus Colston with a 6-yard touchdown pass, and the New Orleans Saints led the Carolina. And one thing about it, when the Saints practiced here back in the 2000s, from 06 to 08, I love observing the players and how they practice. And one thing I noticed early on, this was pre-Super Bowl, a few years before winning the Super Bowl, I noticed how Marcus Colston, he is one focused athlete. Even when he was not on the field practicing, he's one of those guys that take notes and observe and work out and he's just really focused. I noticed that because I'm a people watcher and I like to observe people. And that's one thing I observed of him. He's very, very, very focused person. Drew Brees hit Marcus Colston with a 6-yard touchdown pass, and the New Orleans Saints led the Carolina Panthers 7-6 early in the second quarter Sunday night. Graham Gano kicked field goals of 43 and 24 yards as the Panthers took a 6-0 lead through one quarter, which ended with the Saints threatening to score their first points. The Panthers had the ball for 11:30, showing an ability to run their offense in the face of an energized and loud Superdome crowd, revved up for a game that would decide sole possession of first place in the NFC South with 3 games left. And see, we're facing the Panthers again week after next. And, in 2 more weeks, we're playing the Panthers again. Carolina drove 53 yards for their first score and 26 for the second after Ted Ginn Jr. returned a punt 32 yards. A 15-yard penalty was added to the return because of a horse collar tackle by punter Thomas Morstead along the sideline. New Orleans defense came through with clutch third down stops to keep Carolina out of the end zone. However, defensive end Junior Gillette had a sack to stall the Panthers' opening drive, and Newton was forced to throw the ball away on third and goal from the 6 late in the first quarter. Oh, my God. Please excuse me. If sometimes you guys wonder why I've delayed some of the shows, it's because I'm not out the woods yet of this cough. I know this is crazy, but Mom and I, we're almost rid of this crazy, crazy cough. We have to take this stuff seriously. But I'm just looking at the headlines from all across the country regarding this big, important game as I was watching the NFL Network early overnight, Saturday, Sunday morning. 64% had predicted that the Panthers would win, but I noticed right before the game, the sports analysts, they all were going for the Saints. The Superdome. Hey, did the Superdome break a record tonight with the noisiest fans, loudness? I don't see. I haven't heard. So I'm wondering if they beat the Seattle, as Seattle was real loud a couple weeks ago. But Now it's time to focus on MNF, Monday Night Football. That is definitely going to be a good one between the Cowboys and Chicago. And Chicago doesn't play, but I believe, and I'm believing that the Cowboys are going to do their thing. And that's me, you know, going to do their thing and defeat the Chicago Bears on Monday night. But there's all type of headlines. It's just amazing. Let's see. Sports Illustrated. ABC News has a good headline. Let's see. Please excuse me. Trying my best to refrain from coughing. And thank you again for tuning in and listening to the show. Thank you for listening to archive shows, live shows. Plus, thank you for downloading the show. On Twitter too, so you should follow them and network with them. Breeze, this is from Sports Illustrated, and I'm sharing this on Facebook right quick. There's a video with this article also for those of you that missed the game or those of you that like seeing highlights. Bree Sharp, Saints beat Panthers 31-13. It only took 6 days and a return to the Superdome. Because I know the Mutes was concerned about how, you know, the Saints had trouble getting back home the following day after playing Seattle. They had playing trouble, so they didn't get back to New Orleans to the Big Easy until like late in the evening on that Tuesday. But, you know, better safe than sorry. So I'm glad they did not take, you know, I'm glad that they were safe and made it back to New Orleans safely, because I definitely was praying for them. It only took 6 days and a return to the Superdome for Drew Brees and the Saints to shake off their worst performance this season and look like legitimate contenders again. Brees passed for 313 yards and 4 touchdowns, and New Orleans beat Carolina 31-13 on Sunday night to regain sole possession of the first place in the NFC South. This sounds so good. And snapped the Panthers' winning streak at 8 games. Love his offense. Love what Sean Payton put together. Yay, Sean. Coach Sean. You know, he's on Twitter. Follow him at Sean Payton. Bree said, I love the group of guys that I get a chance to play with. We know it, Drew. He's one of the most enthusiastic quarterbacks out there. The Panthers defense had not allowed more than 2 touchdowns in a game this season until the Saints scored 3 in the second quarter alone, when Bree completed 14 of 16 passes for 159 yards. The Saints also became the only team this season to score more than 24 points against Carolina, which entered the game number 1 in scoring defense, allowing 13.1 points per game. Breed's first two scoring strikes went to Marcus Colson, who made 9 catches for 125 yards. Jimmy Graham added 2 TD catches, his second, making it 31-6 in the fourth quarter. We just had great balance, and a lot of guys made plays, Breeze said. Marcus came up with some huge catches, as did Jimmy. The line did a great job. We mixed and matched the personnel groups, and what we were doing in defense did a great job of getting us the ball and giving us opportunities. New Orleans sack Cam Newton, love you, Cam, 5 times and did not allow a touchdown until 5:15 remained. Junior Gallet had 3 of New Orleans sacks and Cameron Jordan 2. Last Monday night, New Orleans went to Seattle, looking to lead the race for the top playoff seed in the NFC, only to fall 34-7, a result that also dropped the Saints into a tie with Carolina atop the division. But the Saints look sharp in their return home, where they are 7-0. They're 7-0 at home, so the games that they have lost have been games on the road, and became the first team not to lose a turnover to the Panthers all season. Breeze looked more like his usual self, completing 30 of 42 passes en route to becoming only the 5th QB in NFL history to eclipse 50,000 career yards passing. We knew the challenge, especially on a short week, playing against a great division opponent in the Carolina Panthers. Breeze said they had won 8 in a row, so they were rolling. But we wanted to kind of hit our stride and get our swagger back, and no better way than to come in the dome and do that. All 3 phases played exceptionally well tonight. We got a great team win. New Orleans now owns a 1-game lead over the Panthers with 3 games to go, but also must travel to Carolina, a road trip to Carolina. So we really got to have our game up on this. Guys, watch all the video, watch everything, observe and study the Carolina Panthers. I know I don't need to tell you guys this, but, you know, this is me. Study the Panthers. I love you, Cam, but we got to do. But also must travel to Carolina in 2 weeks. Newton was 22 of 34 passing for 160 yards, while D'Angelo Williams, returning from a quad contusion that sidelined him last week, rushed 13 times for 52 yards as the Panthers struggled to move the ball on most of their drives after the first quarter. When Graham Gano hit 2 field goals, Gano had a 3rd chance from 49 yards in the 3rd quarter, but kicked it wide right. Please excuse me, you hear my phone, my other phone, one of my phones. Costa nearly had a 3rd TD, but it was overturned on review, and the Panthers mounted a goal line stand to force a short field goal that made it 24-6 in the 3rd quarter. The Panthers, however, were unable to build a momentum for that sequence. New Orleans started slow and trailed 6-0, but seemed ignited by Darren Sproles' 38-yard run late in the first quarter. That set up Colston's first score on a 6-yard catch early in the second quarter. On their next possession, the Saints drove 86 yards in 11 plays, kept by Colston's 2nd TD on a 15-yard pass. You just got to see him throughout the week, Colston said about Breeze. The man works like I've never seen. He deserves every bit of success that he gets. New Orleans got the ball again on its own, 24 with 2 minutes and 1 second left in the half. And Breeze immediately found Lance Moore for 21 yards, Colston for 19 yards, and Sproles for 20, setting up Graham's 5-yard TD catch. The Panthers had the ball for 11:30 of the first quarter, showing an early ability to move the ball in the face of an energizing loud Superdome crowd, but only got 2 field goals out of it after New Orleans came up with a clutch 3rd down stop, including 1 on 3rd and goal from the 6. So, wow. Now, I watched other NFL games today. One game that I did watch was the game between Philadelphia and Detroit. And that wow. That's amazing watching that team play in all of that snow, in the midst of a snowstorm. And to be honest, I thought it was going to be zero forever, you know, because they really didn't start scoring to third quarter. Those of you that watched the game know this. And it was just amazing. 1 minute it was 6 inches, then in like a minute and a half it was 8 inches of snow on the field. But congratulations to Philadelphia. Yes, Philadelphia prevailed, but a big shout-out to Reggie Bush and his team. But I can't hear Reggie's name, but I promise you I didn't see Reggie. But, of course, Kevin Johnson and Riddick, they know they showed their behind. That was an amazing. That's amazing watching that game. And you fans are sitting in the stands. That's even more amazing. You know, I'm down here in the Deep South. And, wow. Why are Superdomes and closed-in arenas like Cowboys Stadium and like the Superdome, why are they rare up north where snowstorms occur? I'm just curious. You know, the weather gets hot down here, but I'm just curious. But, you know, I guess it makes a better player when you can play in all types of elements. But that's wild. Watching a little snow down here, and we're closing down everything. But that was amazing to watch that game. That was good. But again, thank you guys. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And we'll be broadcasting all week at regular time, 5:30, Saturday morning at 6:30 a.m. Okay. hope to finally have this cough out of the way real soon. Last Sunday, World AIDS Day is every day. But last Sunday was World AIDS Day, and the show aired last Sunday. They planned to talk about World AIDS Day. It was really recognized big time here in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm going to shout out my longtime friend, the Ryan Seacrest of Jackson, Mississippi, I must say, Otha Kane, because he really worked tirelessly on educating and working with churches and with the secular community to be educated regarding World AIDS Day and the importance of knowing your status. I haven't had an AIDS test in probably a couple of years, so I'm definitely, when I get better, I'm going to go take my HIV. I practice sexual abstinence, but you know what? Just because if you have ever had sex, it's important to know your status, because are not immune to that. Are not immune to. Okay, I hope you guys can hear me. I'm not immune to it. My phone made a funny noise, so I just want to make sure I'm still on the air. So I'm looking at the World AIDS website, and all you have to do is go to worldaidsday.org, worldaidsday.org, and because just because World AIDS Day is one day of the year, it is an important cause worldwide, 24/7, every day of the year. They have a video regarding World AIDS Day, even a Facebook page which you can connect with. Then there's also different ways that you can get involved with worldaidsday.org overall and in your community. And also there's HIV facts and stats. And also there's ways where you can get red ribbons. You know, a lot of calls... Excuse me, most causes are every day, not just the day that we take time to recognize. But my shows this month are abbreviated, so I'm going to go ahead and share some facts about HIV and then go ahead and talk about the importance of recognizing the homeless, because we never know, none of us never know when, and especially the way things are, when we can become homeless or when we're homeless. Some of you listen to the show are homeless now, or many of you are helping homeless people. Ever since I was a little girl, I've always had a concern and care for those in need and those homeless. I used to live in the Georgetown community of Jackson, Mississippi. And I'm 45, and so that was a time where, you guys ever heard of hobos? My first experience with homeless people was with hobos, because we lived in a very nice community in Georgetown near Lanier High School. But there was a railroad track not far from our home, and I would always watch and observe the hobos. Hobos are men that would travel on the railroad, you know, the railroad tracks, on the railroad trains, you know, hitch rides from city to city. But, you know, that was like my first experience with seeing and observing how homeless people live. And I've always cared and been concerned about friends and people that I meet and talk to today. People tell you homeless people, I know many homeless people. Some people that tell me they're homeless, I'm surprised to know that they're homeless. And some people, it's obvious. But, you know, that's a concern. You see families, you see veterans, you see people all walks of life. Educated people, you see people that live normal lives, but they're just homeless. They may live in a shelter or live out their cars. You know, I have friends and know people that, you know, because they were making career choices, you know, and didn't have the money, they chose to put their money and dreams into their businesses and their dreams and live out their cars until they could afford to live their life. You know, you put your all into your dreams, into your goals. You know, we all hear stories of Tyler Perry, how he would put all into becoming a successful playwright. But HIV facts. HIV stands for the Human Immunodeficiency Virus. So when we say HIV, that is the acronym for Human Immunodeficiency Virus. You know, some people say HIV and don't even know what it's an acronym for. I'm 45 again, like I said, and I remember in the early 80s when the reports came out regarding a disease, a very strange disease, that was pretty much known in the gay white community. But AIDS today is affecting everybody. I was shocked to hear in the news last weekend here in Jackson, the age group that is really affected by HIV here in Jackson, Mississippi, is the age group from 13 to 24. That nearly brought my mother and I to tears. That's sad. You know, you would hear about teen pregnancies, you know, but HIV, that's the highest group in Jackson, Mississippi alone, 13 to 24. With cases of HIV, that is sad. What are we not doing right? HIV can be passed on through infected bodily fluids, most commonly via sex without a condom, or by sharing infected needles, syringes, and other injecting drug equipment. There are now more people than ever living with HIV in the UK, around 100,000, with a quarter of those people are unaware that they have the virus. So it's important for us to know our status and to know if we have the virus or not. If it's scary or not, you want to know, right? I have a cousin who's been living a healthy life with HIV. But if he had not found out early on, he might not will be here, right? But he found out early on, and he's a handsome guy, but he's here, and he looks great. You know, you can't look at a person and say, oh, that person must have HIV and AIDS, you know. Here are a few more facts about HIV. This is from the UK right here, because I'm looking at the main website. And I have a lot of listeners in the UK, and you guys know how Ebony Empress and many other listeners and I network for one another. Over 90% of people with HIV were infected through sexual contact. You cannot get tested for HIV using a saliva sample. Yeah, I know I heard my friend Otha talking about that last week, that how some ministers here in Jackson were in the pulpit taking HIV tests. Every time I've ever had an HIV test, I've always had the prick of a needle. HIV is not passed on through spitting, biting, or sharing utensils. Only 1% of babies born in HIV-positive mothers have HIV. You can get the results of an HIV test in just 15, 20 minutes. I know every time I've had HIV test, it's only 15, 20 minutes, to be honest. There's no vaccine and no cure for HIV. Have any of these facts come as a surprise? There is still loads more you can learn about HIV in the UK by visiting HIV Aware, our fun and active new website which provides all the information everyone should know about HIV. HIV Aware gives you facts and stats on HIV, what's common myths and answers you frequently asked questions. Take your first step to acting aware by HIV Aware. And so on this website, there's events, there's information all about World AIDS Day and why it was created. They answer the question, what is World AIDS Day? World AIDS Day, which was last Sunday on the 1st, is held on December 1st each year and is an opportunity for people worldwide to unite in the fight against HIV, show their support for people living with HIV, and to commemorate people who have died. World AIDS Day was the first ever global health day, and the first one was held in 1988. I have lost friends from HIV and AIDS. Even a cousin of mine died from AIDS in the 90s, like 93. He was a part of the gay community. Why is World AIDS Day important? Around 100,000 are currently living with HIV. And this is like talking about the UK, but it's important worldwide, right? Here in America, in the UK, in Africa, in India, China, Japan, no country is immune from HIV and AIDS. And globally estimated that 34 million people have HIV. More than 25 million people between 1981 and 2007 had died from the virus, making it one of the most destructive pandemics in history. Today, many scientific advances have been made in HIV treatment. There are laws to protect people living with HIV, and we understand so much more about the condition. But despite this, people do not know the facts about how to protect themselves and others from HIV, and stigma and discrimination remain a reality of many people living with HIV. World AIDS Day is important as it reminds the public and government that HIV has not gone away. There's still a vital need to raise money, increase awareness, fight prejudice, and improve education. What should I do on World AIDS Day? And so it's focused on December the 1st, but it's an everyday year-round event. Some people have already started planning their events for next year. World AIDS Day is an opportunity for you to learn the facts about HIV and put your knowledge into action. Find out how much you know about taking the online quiz. Are you HIV aware? Test your knowledge and awareness by taking the quiz and act aware by passing the quiz on and sharing it with your friends on Twitter and Facebook. If you understand how HIV is transmitted, how it can be prevented, and the reality of living with HIV today, you can use this knowledge to take care of your own health and the health of others and ensure you treat everyone living with HIV fairly and with respect and understanding. You can also show your support for people living with HIV on World AIDS Day by wearing a red ribbon, the international symbol of HIV awareness and support. World AIDS Day is also a great opportunity to raise money for NAT, National AIDS Trust, and show your support for people living with HIV. If you feel inspired to hold an event, bake sale, or simply sell ribbons, click here to get started. If you'd like to see what other, well, that's when you visit the website, they have an area where you can click, are taking place. But what about after World AIDS Day? Exactly, because it is a yearly thing. Although World AIDS Day is a great opportunity to get the public talking about HIV and fundraising, we need to remember the importance of raising awareness for HIV all year round. Just like we raise awareness for breast cancer and cancer overall. One of my friends shared with me recently that his mother has cancer. And domestic violence, it's important for us to educate others and learn as much as we can about the causes that are important to us. That's why NAIT has launched HIV Aware, a fun interactive website which provides all the information everyone should know about HIV. Why not use what you have learned on World AIDS Day to act aware throughout the year? And remember, you can fundraise at any time of the year, too. NAIT is always here to give you suggestions and ideas. And you can visit the Facebook page and all. You know, it's one day, but it's every day that it's important for us to build awareness, right? We have sex. Sex happens every day. Babies are born every day. People that use drugs exchange needles every day, right? Bodily fluids are exchanged daily, so it's important for us to build and create and act aware every day also. And it's good to have events also throughout the year. I'm thinking now, what events can I plan throughout the year in 2014 to help bring attention to this important this is very important of learning and being educated about HIV and AIDS also, because some of us we always learn something new about certain causes, and I feel like I always learn something new about something, you know, AIDS, cancer, domestic violence, even though, you know, I know a lot personally in that category, but we always learn something when we hear certain stories. But I was saying on my Facebook page early this morning that, you know, spread love every day of the year, but especially this time of the year, where some of us are so happy, but there are some that are bah humbug, and there are some that are more than bah humbug. There are some that are sad, that are depressed. There are some that feel overlooked, not wanted, not loved right now during this time of year. And some people I know do not see that and don't understand why. And it's people that you least expect also that feel unwanted and sad and depressed and to be glad and hate to see this time of year coming. And I've had friends of mine share it on Facebook, talk with me in person, and some people it's obvious. They could care less about this time of year. What do the homeless do? You know, that's why it's good to volunteer during this time of year also. There are many Thanksgiving days that I have spent in my lifetime where I volunteered to help feed those that either were spending their day alone or didn't have anywhere to go that were homeless. But, you know, sometimes it's good to have a smile from someone or at least say hello and how you're doing. You never know. Some people that, you know, we say, we're always told we'll take care of those that are less fortunate than you. Sometimes it's not obvious who's less fortunate. Sometimes the person might look like they have the world, the love of their life, the job, money in the bank, but that person might be lonely. That person might want someone to say something to them nice, to compliment them, or at least talk to them for about 2 to 5 minutes. You know, you never know. But where some people are so focused on me, what's in it for me, what I got to get. But there are some people, sometimes just giving a person a smile is all a person needs, you know, really, because you never know. I'm telling the truth. Why is why suicide is so high? You know, there are some people that commit suicide and you wonder why. Look like they had everything they needed, but maybe they didn't have everything they needed. Maybe they didn't feel loved. Maybe they didn't feel wanted. Maybe they felt like they were always being used or kicked to the curb. So it's important to sometimes it's not just that physical, materialistic gift. Sometimes it's that just a little comfort, a little time spent with a person that's important. And especially when you know a person is homeless or on the brink of being homeless. I'm looking at an article right now regarding America's Homeless Kids. And it is from Atlantic City's Place Matters. And the author of this article is Sarah Goodyear, so it's time for the show to end. And it writes about homeless students in America. Now, we talk about homeless veterans, homeless families, homeless people. But the number of homeless students in the United States has hit a record high. According to new data from the Department of Education, the raw numbers are shocking. In 2011 school year, 1,168,354 homeless children. I'm about to cry. I am about to cry. You know, I'm an animal lover and volunteer for CARA and, you know, and have pets. I mean, the animal shelters are filled. Miss Jackson, who has three of my dogs from a few years ago, Cinnamon pet puppies, you know, she's working on making room for some kitty cats that I have that need homes. But we're talking about animals. Well, then, but what about human beings that are homeless? You know, some people think that people that love animals don't care about people. We care about people. Human rights is important because, you know, it's important for humans to be taken care of, to be living self-sufficiently, you know. And it's important for all of us to be self-sufficient and to be living proper lives. So talking about homeless animals, senior citizens, but then and homeless people and homeless veterans. But what about homeless children? 1,168,354 homeless children were enrolled in preschools and K-12 programs. Even more disturbing, in the trend, those numbers show nationally they represent a 10% jump over the previous school year and a stunning 72% increase since the beginning of the recession in 2008. The crisis is not confined to any one region. 43 states reported a rise in the number of homeless kids, and 10 showed jumps of more than 20%, according to a compilation of the DOE data assembled by the National Center for Homeless Education. The biggest jumps were found in Maine, 58%, Michigan, 42%, 53%, North Dakota, 212%. It is cold in North Dakota. Homeless in North Dakota, 212%. I have a friend who lives and works. He fell in love up there, so he's living up there now. 212%. Wow. South Dakota, 35%. Vermont, 31%. And Wyoming, 30%. And Wyoming, 40%. And one of the headlines says that one of the toughest things about that issue is that many of these families are invisible. Wow. And I talk about feeling invisible. You know, being a 45-year-old woman who had no children, where my son, if he had lived, would be 25, but striving hard to get myself back on surface. And because after my second marriage failed, I mean, I just seemed like I just, you know, things just gradually and things just fell apart. But thankfully, by the grace of God, you know, I'm back on the right track and realize how good things are and really be happy when my divorce is finally finalized. But you know, sometimes I feel like an invisible person. I'm not on any type of government assistance. And just working hard on being a successful entrepreneur and a community activist, you know. But then these are families that are also feeling invisible. And the spike in homelessness among American school children is an unsurprising result of the prolonged effects of the economic downturn. In communities around the country, huge numbers of families are being pushed into homelessness by foreclosure, which has affected some 8 million children, along with the combination of spiraling rents and stagnating wages. The majority of these kids, some 71%, are living in doubled-up housing situations, a status defined under DOE rules as sharing the houses of other persons due to loss of housing, economic hardship, or a similar reason. One of the toughest things about this issue is that many of these families are invisible, says Carol Badero, the senior policy director and legal counsel for First Focus, a bipartisan advocacy organization for families and children. And different agencies define homelessness differently. HUD, for example, has regulations that make it difficult for families who are living doubled up to assess HUD-funded services. Yet Badero says the stresses on doubled-up kids and families are severe. Efforts to bring DOE and HUD policy into line have been stalled in Congress for the past year. Another 15% of homeless school kids are in shelters, 6% are in hotels and motels, and 4% are unsheltered. I mean, they're just out there living in the elements or going to shelters. You know, by me talking to homeless people here, you know, you can there's certain hours to be at the shelter, then you have to leave the shelter because, you know, the shelter has to maintain the property. If you want to know what kind of life an unsheltered child lives, look no further than a grim story published in San Jose Mercury News recently about a Santa Clara County bus known as Hotel 22. traveling from Palo Alto to San Jose. Palo Alto is where one of my favorite actors is from, James Franco, Franco family, to San Jose, through the heart of hyper-affluent Silicon Valley. The 22 is the only county bus